everyone. Welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 2, and I am back. I am here with Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston. My name is Jason Webster. Hi, everybody.
Hey. What's up, Jay?
Hi.
What's going on, dudes?
Welcome back to the second podcast of Season 3.
Yes, sir.
We missed you last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and it had been a long time since we recorded, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little break.
We did have a little rust last week.
I mean, what are you gonna do though? It's a long lull between draft and camp.
It is.
You know?
It is. Yeah.
And it's just like you need to kind of rejuvenate, you know?
Yep, for sure. And then the crazy part is now you get into training camp, and as we're gonna talk about the very short period of time here, a few days, pads go on. First scrimmage or a preseason game is 17 days away.
Yeah.
You know, and then the season's like 3.5 weeks after that. Like, it's like a roller coaster now, right? You had that slow click, 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 click going up the hill. And, well, Rick and we just peaked. We're over the hill, and now we're on the fast part of the ride. So,
yeah, it's coming quick.
It is. We're moving. I love it. It's fantastic, man. I can't wait. I want summer to last, but I want football to get here. Hey, you got to kind of, go with it. That's all.
Well, unfortunately, summer's going to go fast whether you want it to or not.
I noticed that.
Football will come.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the page I'm on this year is I'm like you, Jeff, where I'm like, I don't want summer to really just go by. You know, I'm excited for football season, but I want summer to kind of last. This year, I'm like, dude, summer's flying anyway. I'm freaking busy every weekend.
Yep.
Like, just bring football on. Like, let's go.
Let's do it.
Bring it, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with you, man.
But by summer, let's bring some football.
Yeah. It's on its way.
And it's not far until, we start drafting for fantasy, and then everything gets rolling really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to talk to you about that. I might be looking for a guy this year, so.
In fantasy?
Yeah.
In a different league?
My league, no.
Oh, okay.
Gonna need a guy.
Someone extra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a guy.
I could probably help you out.
Lost a guy, need a guy.
Yeah, I could definitely bring that to you.
You could just buy another team and double your chances of winning.
So I'll be a double owner.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that legal or
no?
Jake Bezos, sure.
Yeah,
Jake Bezos.
I can do that.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. So I mean, I would be into that hardcore. But I could get you somebody easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there.
So listen, sweet. Jake. So. We know training camp is in progress. Where are we at? What's it looking like? What have you heard?
So today was day 3 of training camp for these guys.
Yes, sir.
And some of the reports out there are pretty good, I guess, overall from everything. As far as the injury standpoint, Saffold's still going to be out for a little bit with the broken ribs.
Right.
Crowder's missed 3 days in a row. I guess Ryan Bates wasn't there at practice today.
Right.
And Daquan Jones had a vet rest day today.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. Good battle today reported between Diggs and Elam. They were going at it pretty hard. I guess Elam was kind of up in Diggs' grill holding a little bit and stuff like that.
Love here and shit like that.
Well, yeah, you want your rookies going at your – number one receiver hard like that. That's a good sign to have.
So. Set a tone. You know what? Let them know. I'm here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else? So I guess last practice yesterday, the defense was flying around making a lot of plays.
Yeah.
The offense was struggling. So
day one and two, I guess it was kind of like that.
So yesterday, I guess Josh took his helmet off, walked to the sidelines, had to take a breather for a minute because he was getting so frustrated.
Right.
And, walked on back and made a couple good plays. James Cook, I guess he's as advertised right now, man. I guess
he's looking good.
They're saying the speed that he has is a whole new gear that really not a lot of guys have in this league. So,
and what Josh did, he needs to get out of his system now. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today is that there's a lot of expectations on the Bills this year, and nobody's putting more pressure on themselves than Josh. So he needs to be that perfect machine. Eventually.
Right.
But right now, get the frustration out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're shaking off some rust. And yeah, exactly. That's what camp's all about.
Yep.
So, but like you said, they said Josh today, it looked like a whole different ball game. The offense excelled today. And that's good to hear. But, yeah. You know, you also, it's great to hear your defense is doing good. And it's not all the names that everybody's familiar with either. You know, you mentioned Khalil Shakir.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking pretty good now with, Crowder missed some time.
Yes.
Right? Yep. Yeah, so that gave him an opportunity to maybe do a little bit more work, you know, get noticed. And he took advantage of that. That's cool.
Yeah. I guess Dorsey said they're still trying to kind of figure out Khalil Shakir's strengths right now.
Right.
You know, where he's good, where he's not. He missed OTAs and stuff like that with some nagging injuries. So they don't really have a full on feel for what he can bring strength wise to the offense. They just know that he can make plays.
Right.
And they don't know. I guess Dorsey said, we're not sure if he's good inside or outside right yet.
Right.
We're still trying to get a feel for that. But yeah, I guess he's cool. I guess his hands are really showing good. He's good in and out of his breaks. Yeah. So the athleticism is there.
Yeah, they've been mentioning the kind of guys that you hope to hear names. Like, you already know who Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are. Obviously, Matt Milano, Trey Edmonds, guys like that. But now they're talking about guys like Cam Lewis,
yeah,
Dane Jackson, you know, Saran Neal, that are showing up in camp. And that's really good because, obviously, depth with losing Trey White last year, you know, depth is huge. So even if they end up being depth pieces versus starters, that doesn't mean that they're not just as important because they could be called upon at any time, mm-hmm, and they need to be ready.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's cool to hear. Like, Cam Lewis is a local dude. Like, I'm pulling for him, man. I hope it works out.
Same.
You know?
Yeah, same. It's nice to see, you know, some underdog guys,
yeah,
trying to, you know, stepping up and making plays. The Micah Hyde said he really likes Jaquan Johnson, the backup safety.
Oh yeah.
And he thinks that he can have a real impact on this defense eventually. According to Micah Hyde, he said when he comes in on this on the defense, they don't miss a beat at safety.
No kidding.
So that's good to
really
hear.
That's really good to hear.
DeMar Hamlin too.
Yeah.
Couple of reports on him saying he's making some good plays out there. So it seems like a lot of these guys, second, third year guys, are stepping up. Epinesa,
right?
They're saying that he looks like a totally different defense end this year.
Wow.
Well, Ed Oliver. So
yeah, we touched a little bit on the fact that they literally, it sounds like they could have two starting defensive lines.
Yeah,
you know, in tackles and edge rushers, they've got the talent to basically not have a starting line and a backup line, more like a 1A, 1B kind of a situation, which is like,
and that could
incredible.
That can be scary for the opposition.
Well, yeah, especially
they have two groups of defensive linemen just rotating in and out and just coming at you at a consistent basis.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
Right, you know, and deeper you go in the season, especially when you get to the playoffs where guys have been, you know, put through a ringer. I mean, these guys get pounded. To be able to keep them rotated, keep them fresh. You know, even Von Miller, I heard a report that he said that, you know, he'll do whatever the coaches ask him to do. But as far as if his body says yes, he wants to be on the field as much as he possibly can.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, I can't make a difference. He said, nothing bothers me more than to be standing on the sidelines, have the other team make a play, knowing that he might have been able to change the outcome if he had been on the field.
Yeah.
But he's stuck on the sidelines watching.
He's a guy that, like, he's got too much left in the tank. You can't really,
oh, yeah,
you can't really keep him on a rotation. He's a guy that needs to be out there during critical points of the game specifically, oh, yeah, too. I mean, yep, he's just too
close,
talented.
Yeah, close games, he's probably not going to leave the field much in the fourth quarter.
No.
In a tight game.
No.
I doubt you'll see him resting too much.
Yeah, you know, it's tough.
They'll spell him or something, but yeah.
Right.
That guy, the talent that guy has is just too big,
right,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and like Jason said, the expectations going into this year, the USA Today released their schedule predictions for the entire league this year, and 15-2 for the Bills, so that's a tall order.
For sure.
To follow up. I mean,
any team.
Obviously, these guys, and they preach it all the time. The players say it. Sean McDermott says it. They go day by day.
One game at a time.
One game at a time. One practice at a time. they don't really look ahead at stuff. But the thing is, they know what the noise is. They see it. They hear it.
Yeah, they're human beings.
They understand it.
Right?
Yeah.
They live day to day just like everybody else, and you can't tune all of it out.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good, question to move forward here with for you guys is, can Josh Allen, can he be the front guy of the pressure for this season?
Right.
Can this coaching staff keep these guys on track? What do you guys think? Does this team have what it takes to soak in all this pressure or the expectations this year?
Well, like you talked about, I think defensively we're very strong. Offensively, I think that we have a lot of new talent that we're going to be trying to figure out, which in previous years, even with Josh Allen being an excellent leader already, we've seen that sometimes it takes a little time to get into it, Yeah. And to expect him to only lose two games, especially when the Dolphins potentially could be a little bit more of a threat this year. Our division's still pretty easy for us, but the AFC East is really strong.
Yeah.
To only lose two, I really don't think that's possible. And I kind of hope that the goal is the Super Bowl, not the undefeated season. Like, I don't give a shit about the undefeated season. Let's just get to the playoffs and win.
Right.
And if we do that, I think it'll give us that time we need to work into things.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I can't say any different about that. The biggest thing that I look at, and I correlate it to and it's not the exact same, but an NBA season, for instance, the Chicago Bulls have the best record in NBA history at 72-10.
Yeah.
Golden State beat that by two games. They only lost eight games
right
in the season.
Wow.
But
which is huge.
What happened that year is they ended up playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals, and they lost.
Right. Yep.
So do they have the best record in NBA history? But the ultimate goal is they didn't win a Super Bowl. Look at the New England Patriots.
Hell yeah. Undefeated. They
won undefeated season, got to the Super Bowl, lost to the Giants.
Yep. And so, you don't hear anybody talking about it anymore.
Correct.
It doesn't matter if they were undefeated.
Sabres, all you hear is how many rings they've got.
Yeah, the Sabres won a President's Cup. Great.
Yeah.
Most points in the season for the entire NHL. Could do nothing once they got into the playoffs.
Right.
Just couldn't get out of their own way.
So, the regular season, it's great to have that accolade. Like, if we lost two games, wow, what a season.
Yeah, that's great.
But what matters the most, kind of like Jason said, is it matters after that.
Right.
The playoffs to the Super Bowl is the ultimate goal. So, honestly, would it matter if we lost five games and won a Super Bowl?
No.
Right?
Nobody would give a flying fuck if we lost one or five.
Exactly.
And somebody pointed that out, that most of the Super Bowl winners over the last couple of decades are 12 win or less teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe some were 13 or whatever. But it's pretty rare that anybody wins 14 games. So to win 15 would be, pretty crazy.
Sure.
But that's not the goal. That's not the ultimate goal.
Yep.
A championship. And the question is, can Josh Allen carry this team? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. What he did in the playoffs last year was epic.
Yeah. No, I get it. Is this team built to handle this pressure? Do you guys think we have the right guys in place, players, coaching staff, GM, all these, everything you need? Are these guys built to handle this pressure and move into a championship team? What do you guys think?
I think it's definitely a little early to know for sure, but I have a lot of hope. If every expert out there, every fan out there, people all around the country, people even in Canada, all think that the Bills can do it, why shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And right. I hope that they have that same level of confidence in the coaching staff and on the field.
Right.
Yeah, and I would agree 100%. I would even take it a step further that I think of all the things that could possibly keep this team from getting to the Super Bowl. That's not one of them. Even Ken Dorsey, fine, he's a new dude, but he's an internal hire. He's not a stranger that nobody knows.
Yeah,
everybody knows him. The move that they've made this offseason have been – very positive, I think, for the most part.
Yeah.
The pieces that we lost were pieces that, they were important pieces, but at the same time, I think they did a fantastic job replacing where they had to. Levi Wallace and Jerry Hughes And obviously the edge rushers were already showing up, like Greg Rousseau, you know, you mentioned Von Miller, you know. I mean, the pieces that they lost look like they've been replaced.
Yeah. Do we have enough mixture of veterans in this locker room and guys that are, you know, in this league or on this team for a short period of time? Do we have a good enough mixture, do you think, that leadership is going to be established enough to keep these guys on track?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think so.
I mean, you got guys like, you know, fifth-year guys like Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, stuff like that. You know, if you look at it, have these guys been through enough where they understand what it takes to get through the playoffs now?
Yeah. I've always talked about the fact that even the losses, as much as they hurt, they are learning experiences, you know. And I think they've just about learned everything you can learn in the NFL that way. You know, the 13 seconds, the Houston game, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you could go through this entire process since Sean McDermott got here, and just about anything that could go wrong has.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
It just seems that way.
Yeah, you get some flop games like that Jaguars game last year. The game that we probably, well, I would say not probably, that we should have won at home, even though it was a windstorm,
right,
against the Patriots. You know, that's a game you have to win. So there's definitely games since McDermott and Bean have been here.
Sure.
And these guys like Josh and Tremaine and Trey White.
Yeah.
Learning how to finish these games.
Yeah, like the Arizona game, right?
The Hail Mary, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've seen it. They've seen it. Even the 13 seconds.
Right.
You know, Kansas City, people don't think about the fact they literally had to be perfect to pull off what they pulled off in 13 seconds.
Right.
You know, you could run that 1,000 times and probably 990 times it's not going to work out. You know, because the passes have to be on time. The guys have to be in the right place. They can't stumble. They can't trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's too many weird things that could happen for that to go exactly how it went. So, you know, bad luck. Like, what was it? 5 out of the 6 losses last year were less than a score.
Right.
You know? I mean, Jacksonville was like 9-6 or whatever. Like, I mean, they had some of the roughest luck that Tennessee game.
Yeah.
Where literally they're 3 points down, they could kick a field goal and go in overtime, but they know they got Josh Allen.
Yep.
If he doesn't slip, they get a first down, and the game goes on.
Yeah.
And they probably win.
I mean, he was pretty close to the goal line.
Yeah.
A couple yards away, three yards away.
But they only needed like a half a yard or a yard to get a first down.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was just like the ultimate in bad luck. You know?
Well, yeah, there's just weird things that happen within these games, too. Like, if you look at the Tennessee game, you know, for some reason, our run defense just got slaughtered.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. I get who we're facing, you know, Keen Henry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's just like, but come on, man. That's true. You know, it's just true. Like, how many years in a row are we going to have games where our run defense just gets torched?
Right.
You know, like, and it seems like, you know, McDermott and Bean are trying to do whatever they can to shore up that defensive line.
Yep.
Now, if you look at it like, okay, is our defensive line being shored up for pass rush or is it being shored up for run defense? You know, if you ask me, it looks like they're kind of hybrid in both of them.
Right.
You know, you got guys in there that are good at stopping the run. You got guys that are good at rushing the passer.
Yep.
You got guys that are good at doing both.
Yeah, but Miller is that guy. And he can do it all. Yeah.
So, I mean, and McDermott says it all the time. I mean, the guy says it all the time that games are won up front and
in the trenches, man.
They've put a lot of resources in those two areas.
No, you can really see it in the defensive line. That's got me excited, you know. But I think as far as ability wise and lessons learned, and Josh Allen last year proved that he's not an easy guy to defend.
No.
You know what I mean? If you look at, like I said, those two playoff games are just insane. You know, I don't know every combination of two games played in the playoffs ever, but 9 touchdowns, no interceptions, whatever, 77 or 78% completion percentage, 149 passer rating. I mean, it's, or 149. It's just, it was incredible, man. He looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
And you can't fault our offense. I think we scored, it was a 38 maybe points, I think, against Kansas City and still lost. You certainly can't look at the offense and go, dude, how the hell, you know, if you only scored more points, bullshit. 38 points is more than enough to win a football game.
Yeah, these guys
are. So you can't point at Josh Allen for that one. He can't play defense.
Yeah.
They won't let him.
They're scoring at pretty much pretty, you know, will. At,
correct.
At a certain point. But, yeah, it's the defense, unfortunately, let us down that game. And
they had a tough game.
Man. And who do you blame for that, do you think? Do you think that falls on McDermott's shoulder squarely?
Well, it's weird because when you look at the type of defense we're playing at a certain point, it was kind of soft compared to if you look at the regular season game when we beat them in KC.
Right.
I mean, we were playing press coverage. We were all up in Mahomes' face. We're all up in Tyreek Hill. You know, he had that bobble popped up into Micah Hyde's hands and pick six. So, like, we were really aggressive, and I feel like during that playoff game, we were
it was
kind
so
of
important
passive
that we
aggressive.
Just played it safe.
Yes, yes, yeah.
It just didn't.
I agree 100%. Yeah, sometimes I think you play, and they used to say this about Dick Tron all the time. You spend most of the time playing not to lose.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes you don't want to do that. You know, in your brain, that's not the right thing to do. But as a coaching staff and as a team, I think you just automatically do. You just relent to the pressure of, let's just play it safe. Let's stay back. Let's give them the underneath stuff. But unfortunately, you got the speed of Tyreek Hill and the size and speed of Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That doesn't always pan out. If they had done their regular defense, most people believe that they probably would have been much better off.
Yeah, it's
more
true.
Pressure. You know what I mean?
The pressure killed us not having it because, like, if you – and you know, McDermott and Bean watched that game where Tampa just – crushed them the year before with pass rush, you know. And
they talk about it, and they knew it, right?
I mean,
they knew that.
They know what it takes to take a team down like KC.
Yeah, and they're willing to spend a lot of money to get Von Miller to make sure that if in a similar circumstance, we can get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, arguably the best that there is.
Yep. And
I don't know. I mean, for some reason that – it doesn't seem like a very typical Buffalo move. Just be like, who's the fucking best guy out there that we can get? Grab him.
Yeah.
That'll solve it.
Yeah.
But he's good.
Well, the funny thing is, it wouldn't be more than a few handful of years ago, you wouldn't have got him.
Yeah.
He would have went back to L.A. Or he
would
have went
want
to
come
back
to Buffalo
to Denver.
For 20 years.
Right. Yeah. He wouldn't want to come back to Buffalo. But now you've got Josh Allen. You got Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. You know, I don't want to say Bean doesn't get enough credit because he gets a lot of credit, but it's deserved. Like the drafts that he's put together. You know, nobody is flawless when it comes to a draft. But the players that we've drafted and re-signed and kept here are really exceptional. Like Matt Milano, fifth round.
Yep.
Trey White, our very first draft pick for Sean McDermott.
And we've talked about that before, too.
Yeah.
The more valuable our team gets, the more valuable the players get. And those stars are like, hey, I need more money. But we weren't exactly in a great position for that.
Right.
So they had to talk down a lot of guys who could go to a lot of places and make a shitload of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And these guys, like being in McDermott, they haven't really had to make those hard decisions on moving on from one of their big time draft picks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We signed Trey White, you know, we signed Josh. Yeah, we signed Diggs. Diggs wasn't a draft pick, but we brought him in. We signed him.
These are big contracts that had to be made.
Yeah, now it's going to happen now to the point where they're going to have to make a hard decision to move on from one of their draft picks.
Yeah, you know, now they paid Matt Milano.
Paid Matt Milano. Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like you said, even guys that weren't here, Poyer and Hyde and Poyer's looking for a contract, deservedly so.
Yep.
You know, pro bowler. So,
They're going to get to the point where they're going to have to make a tough decision on who they're going to pay and who they're not going to pay, who they're going to, you know what I mean? It's
all part of that philosophy of long-term success.
And that's just one more of those pressures that comes with being an elite team. And we're going to see shortly how well they can handle that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting that Brandon Bean was the one that said, you know, they asked him about how do you draft quality players when you're drafting like at the end of the first round. And he said, well, the goal is to draft last in every round, right? Because that means you got a Super Bowl. So he said, you just have to do your due diligence and find the best player available at that point.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about the other 31 guys. You know, you can move up if you can do that, great. But it doesn't matter. If your pick's 32 and it comes down to it, you got to draft a guy. You got to draft the best guy available.
And let's be honest, if you're one of those teams that getting one guy is going to change the future for your team, you're not in the position to win the championship.
That's right.
There's a reason why the shittiest team gets to go first. You know, they need that help so badly. Like the Jets, one player could change their entire destiny right now.
Well, we'll find out because they had a lot of draft picks last year.
Three guys.
In the first round.
Yeah.
Three big-time draft picks for them.
Yeah.
But I mean,
when Greg Rousseau was my point. Like, I mean, even at the end of the first round, they found a guy who sat out a year because of COVID, but the previous year had a tremendously successful season, 14 and a half sacks, somewhere in that neighborhood or something like that, 13 and a half. It was like one of the higher sack totals in the league. So they took a chance on a guy that sat out a year. And so far, in my book, it was only 4 sacks last year, but it was a limited playing time. And you mentioned earlier that you've heard talk about people talking about possibly getting double-digit sacks out of the guy this year.
Yeah, so, there's analysts out there saying that they expect a big year out of Rousseau, double-digit sacks. But, I mean, these guys...
So that's good drafting, man.
Yeah.
That's good
drafting. It's really good drafting. And these guys, you know, being doing this for the last 5 years or 6 years, it really shows that they're very confident on drafting talent and then being able to refine them to what they think they can get out of them.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep.
And like you said earlier when we were talking, you know, off podcast, the thing about how McDermott, he likes to get guys in here that not necessarily will fit his system, but guys that he thinks he can adapt.
Our system too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, and that's huge.
Yeah.
To have that type of mentality because when you look at that in the draft, that's big because you can get guys. You're not drafting guys just to fit your system. You're drafting guys that you feel that you can adapt your system to them.
Yeah, and it gives you the opportunity to do exactly what they've done with Trey Edmonds and Josh Allen and Greg Rousseau and guys like that, true athletic specimens that, you know, with a little refining, we might have something special here. You know, in that the athletic side of it, right down to, you know, they talk about Kyir Elam. They always look towards that direction. Dawson Knox is a great example of that, to be honest with you.
Oh, huge.
He had almost no exposure catching a football in college.
No.
They just didn't throw him the ball a ton. So if you looked at him statistically in college, you go, pretty dicey. But they saw the size and the build and the speed and all those other intangibles that you can't really teach. And what, you know, if we can teach this guy more about being a tight end in the NFL, he could be something special, man. And I really feel that he's already developed into a pretty special talent. And if it wasn't for the amount of talent on this team, he probably would even be a bigger name in the NFL, but they're already putting him somewhere between 10 and 15 probably in tight ends in the NFL. So,
and that might come down to what makes the Bills special is the ability to train different people the way they need to be trained and to fix problem child. You know, like Josh Allen came into the league with an imperfect form and he had technical issues all over the place.
Yep.
The guy had so many blind spots and he wasn't paying enough attention. He was getting frustrated easily. Yep. You know, he looked afraid a lot of the time. And yet he was a huge guy who had a lot of raw talent and they managed to break all those problems. You know, and if they can do that with anybody, then of course you got to go for the biggest, strongest guys out there who are going to fit our scheme.
Yeah, nobody admits it now, but that's all they talked about is, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people talked about he's inaccurate. You can't fix that in the NFL.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not going to work. And here you go. He proved him wrong.
He did. Yeah, he really proved him wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
And on a different team, it might not have happened.
No, no, that's what sets our coaching staff apart from a lot of this league is being able to bring these guys in that you normally just don't see turn into, you know, big time talent and really refining them to what they can be or what they think they should be. Right. I mean, it's happening all over the team again, like Josh Allen, you know, Matt Milano, Dawson Knox, even like Singletary. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he was a good running back, but he played for, you know, Florida Atlantic. He wasn't, right. He wasn't a big time guy.
Nope. And I feel like that's a lot of what you guys do on this podcast is trying to basically talk the world down from hating on someone before they're ready. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, guys, give Dawson a chance. He's going to fucking get better. You just got to fix this shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, an off season or two later and look at him now, you know, like he's a fantastic talent.
Singletary was a really talented football player, but, you know, he's never going to be a first round guy. It's just was never going to happen.
He's undersized. You know, he didn't have the breakaway speed. But I mean, the kid he works all these guys work their ass off, and that's what you're getting out of these guys. You know, these guys bust ass to get better every single year.
Yeah,
in
it makes
the gym.
You wonder. Like, I know Sean McDermott talks about, you know, trust the process and all those things, but where does the real driving force come? Because we followed it fairly closely.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Davis put on 17 pounds from what he was playing at 210 last year to 227. From what everybody says, just muscle. There's no extra body fat. It's just muscle.
Yeah.
He built himself up. But I've heard that story about, we saw Devin Singletary, Tywan Jones, Dawson Knox,
Josh Allen,
Trey Edmonds, you know, all these guys are improving their bodies and physically and their technical part of their positions to build the best player they can possibly be. But is it all self-motivation? Is it you watch Josh Allen and you go, if I'm going to keep up with this guy, I better do something. If I want to make the team, like, is that, I mean, if I want to stay with this team, I have to do this. You know what I mean? Like, there's some, everybody is, it seems to have bought into the fact that if you want to be here, you better be ready to compete. Cause if you're not, you won't be. It's pretty simple.
They're drafting guys that are really like almost copies in a way of Sean McDermott. Like his mentality, Sean McDermott is his mentality is we all know he gets up and he's working out 2-3 hours before a 7 a.m. practice.
Yep.
He's sleeping in the office. You know, the guy is out there, you know, hands-on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, you know, he's that type of guy. He's like, he puts on his hard hat and grabs his freaking metal lunchbox, straps on his freaking work boots and goes to work. You know, that's who he is.
I don't want to pick on anybody, but if you look at some of the coaches in the league, like they couldn't run 10 yards without collapsing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Sean McDermott's like,
you got anyone in mind?
Yes.
Well, there's a few that come to mind. And actually fairly successful guys. So that's why I said, I'm not going to pick on anybody. Like Andy Reid is a big dude.
Yeah.
But he's very successful too. You know what I mean? Like Bill Belichick doesn't look like he jogs every day. I don't know. Maybe he does, but I'm just saying that it's kind of Josh Allen all over the place, right? Like they found a guy who went, don't worry, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I'm just going to go out there and show them how I play, how it's balls out, how it's
how they have to if they want to be here.
Yeah, everything on the line, every play.
Yeah.
You know, I want the ball. Don't make me hand it off. Like if I can carry the ball and run over a few people, that's what I want. You know,
100%. Sean McDermott sets the tone for this shit.
Yeah,
he's the guy that really sets the tone. I mean, I know for a fact that, and you see it on Embedded. You know, he's like, if you don't put it in the work, you're not going to be here.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And he sets the tone for these guys to be like, you need to be here. You need to bust your ass physically, mentally.
Yeah, if you want to ever hope to see the field,
yeah,
it better be everything you got.
Right. Because
nothing else is going
to
do.
And we talked about that last year, that it seemed like there was almost a fear to commit to reality. You know, you know, we got a couple losses, whatever. People lose. It's okay.
Right.
And, you know, just placated answers during interviews and things like that. And then all of a sudden it shifted. And I think it started with Isaiah McKenzie getting the boot. You know, like, you know, dude, you fucked up real hard. You're out.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be that switch that flipped.
Yeah.
The idea that you're not competing with the NFL. You're competing for your position. And you're competing to be on the best team. And we're going to have the best pieces. You know? And I think that that needs to stay that way this year. Because the first quarter of last year was a little bit soft.
It was.
And some people might go, oh, you know, that's not for me. But then you turn around and you look at, you know, Shaq Lawson, Jordan Phillips. You know, they're practically begging to come back after being gone for a couple of years when they're not only starters, but they're getting paid big bucks. You know, when they left Buffalo, it was like $10-11 million a year for these guys. And now it's like, I would just love to come back and play for you guys. Like,
that's it, man.
They're trying to make the team.
You know what I mean? And I think it's like those toxic wide receivers, you know, the type that like they don't want to fucking do anything and they, you know, they're always out for themselves. Like those are the types of like poison pills that could fuck our, you know, entire team up. And the fact that we got Diggs and honestly, we all know now that he's a great guy. But like at the time, we weren't sure of that.
Right.
We thought that he might be a bit of a toxic player to an extent.
There was some concern because that's what you hear. Right?
But it wasn't his work ethic.
His work ethic
to just put in the time.
Yeah,
second to none.
His work ethic. I mean, it's insane. I mean, you look at back at when McDermott first started coaching this team. He dug out the guys real quick. I mean, Sammy gone.
Yeah,
you know, Marcel Darius gone. You know what I mean? Ronald Darby gone.
Yep.
Just all these guys. He's just like nope, 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 nope.
Yep.
And he and brought
it cost them, man. They had a lot of dead cap. They had to suffer through, but they've done it.
And boy, Sammy Watkins was a good call, wasn't it?
it's
too bad.
I told these guys at work earlier, I saw like one of the top comments on the article about him being injured in a non-contact injury was at least the Fabergé egg of wide receivers. I thought that was so fucking funny.
It's true.
Really, I mean, it's too bad, but it's true.
It's like him and Julio Jones. Like Julio Jones signed a year deal with Tampa Bay. Like, why Tampa Bay? Like, what are you going to get out of that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Five games?
Yeah.
You know?
It does seem like there are certain players that are just doomed for whatever reason.
Right.
He can't, like, his hamstrings, the guy hasn't practiced in, like, 6 years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Legitly.
Yeah.
Because his hamstrings are shot.
Right.
Like, he can't play. And the fact that a team would sign him at this point is, like, what are you looking to get out of that?
Right.
Yeah, you know?
I agree. I mean, and it's like, then you look at Von Miller. Oh, he's 33. Yeah, but I think he had like 4 sacks in the playoffs last year.
The guy's in
like he's a beast.
He's in premium shape.
Yeah, he's still top.
Doesn't look like he lost
top
much.
10 in the league.
Yeah,
and rushing the passer and stuff. Yeah, no, I don't think he's lost much at all. And he's the teacher, man. He's the one running the camp every offseason that these guys are basically begging to come to. You know, like,
and
I mean, he's just such a good dude.
Yeah, and I think that honestly, a lot of it does come down to it being mental over physical because, like, you keep seeing shit about, well, this is going to be Tom Brady's year. He's going to fucking fail. He's going to be horrible. He can't keep up anymore. But it's the idea that, like, if he had decided at 32, you know, I don't have anything more to prove. I've shown how great I am. I can chillax. I can calm down.
Right.
It would have been a totally different thing. But he doesn't ever do that. He constantly has more to prove. So Von Miller, being 33, it doesn't matter. As long as he's out there trying to show something.
No, he literally said, man, my plan is to play out the entire term of this contract.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't sign this
contract. He wants to be here forever.
For a couple, 3 years and then retire. Like, yeah, he said, as long as God's willing to let me and my body's willing to do it, I'm in.
And I'm sure that conversation had an impact on him getting to the Buffalo team.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. The fact that a 2-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, defensive end left LA that just won the Super Bowl to come to Buffalo to play here because he felt that strongly this team was on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl, had so many big things to say about Josh Allen.
Yep.
And then we've always had a great fan base, let's be honest.
Sure.
The fan base has always been good. But in the last 5 years, what we've grown to be is astronomically bigger than it's ever been.
Oh yeah.
You know, and the fact that you get a guy that caliber to really note, like, to play for a fan, and he said it, to play for a fan base like that is second to none.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you take all those in the factor, you know, the coaching staff, we got a superstar quarterback, we have, you know, basically the best fan base in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, we're
one of the top wide receivers.
We're on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl now. It's like, yep. It's kind of surreal to think about where we are right now compared to
where we came from.
I keep saying 100%, that. Like, 100%. I've been a fan for 50 freaking years. And the expectations, like Jason pointed out, have never been higher, man. It's never been like this. And I went through those Super Bowl years and the excitement and the disappointment. And it just, even now, that it doesn't feel quite the same. And maybe it's just because I'm in the moment now and I'm not 30 years ago. But yeah, it just seems like everything's coming together. I'm hoping that they can break through.
Well, and we've talked about that before. Get that
first one out of the way. You know what I mean?
We've talked about that before, too. The AFC was dog shit when we were going through the Super Bowl years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We didn't have a lot of competition.
Yeah.
We have some decent stiff competition now.
Yeah.
And the league is gravitating toward teams that play just like us. It's these heavy throw teams that are just, you know, rocket passers. And it's just crazy that we can dominate in an environment that is trying to compete on the same level we are with the same amount of talent we are.
Right.
You know, if we can win a Super Bowl in that environment, that's like the top.
Well, it's really weird. Like the AFC West is just so strong right now that obviously there's a certain consensus of people that feel like they're just going to beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those four teams are just going to punish each other. So that does give the Bills an opportunity as, you know, probably the best, at least on paper, best team in the AFC, to take advantage of that, to win the AFC, to have a bye.
And I honestly don't think there's any team in this league that's going to go 15-2. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of losses for these top caliber teams.
Yeah.
Stiff competition, man.
There's a lot of talent.
Losing only two games, man. That's a tough feat.
That's tough.
Yeah. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, it's not the right year for it.
But either, like I said, you know, for me, either way, man, I don't care. I mean, yes, would it be great to lose only two games? Yeah. Friggin' absolutely, dude.
Yep.
But as long as we get into playoffs as the number one seed and have home field.
Yep.
And
a bye.
We make a trek to the Super Bowl. That's all I want, man.
Yeah, and if we want to have like a realistic benchmark of expectations, I don't want to lose to New England or to the Jets.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't want to do that. Right. If we can avoid that shit, like that'll, because that's such a morale killer for everybody.
It truly
like,
is.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
And we don't, not every team we play is super strong, but it's almost like we really don't have a Jacksonville to play this year either. You know what I mean? That letdown game where you somehow allow the other team to be competitive when it should have never happened. You know, it seems like most of our games are reasonable. You know, we have some pretty good competition in Green Bay and Kansas City, obviously, but Cincinnati. But yeah, it seems like the schedule is set up pretty well for us.
100%.
I think.
Yeah.
I got a really cool question to lead us out of the podcast, and I'm going to post it on our social, and then we're going to bring it back up next podcast. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on this question for next podcast.
Okay.
You could talk to me about it off air, but for sure. But so the question is Josh Allen the biggest superstar to ever come through Buffalo? Football, basketball, hockey, anybody you could think of that's played sports in Buffalo, is Josh Allen right now the biggest superstar to come through?
And you don't want us to talk about this now?
We'll call it and think about it. We'll post it on social to get everybody's thoughts, and then
I'd like to hear some opinions. I certainly have my opinion.
I think I have my answer already, but I can wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to get your answers on the next podcast. We'll start it off next week with this question and your answers and our answers.
I like it. I do.
Yep.
That's a good one. It's a good one to mull in there, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know,
because you got to think about, like, guys, I mean, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas. There's three right there that were big time. Jeff, you remember this. Jim Kelly, when he finally agreed to come play for Buffalo, fans were lining the streets, the 90, the in Orchard Park. Fans were lining.
Yeah.
When he was coming through, beeping car horns. It was like a
parade.
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, talk about, and at the time, bringing Jim Kelly in was ginormous.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
You think about how many first overall picks we've ever had.
Yeah.
Bruce Smith. Like, name another one. You know what I mean?
Bruce Smith.
Yeah, it's Bruce Smith.
Yep.
You know, but like I'm thinking of players too, like Gilbert Perreault.
Right.
You know, what he did for the Sabres and Bob McAdoo for the Braves. I mean, there's other names out there.
Yeah, you could think of like what they've done. It'd be like interesting for,
to consider that.
Yeah, you could think of like what they've done for the franchise itself, but think about like in a broad range, like how freaking popular they were. Like,
right.
Look, like for instance, right now, and it's different too. It's hard to compare Josh to Jim Kelly, for instance, in a way because like, I mean, I'm not going to get too deep into this because I said I don't want to talk about it.
But yeah, right.
Like, look at how huge social media is right now.
Today.
And we didn't have that with Jim Kelly.
Absolutely.
So, like, Josh automatically already has this huge, huge following just from social.
Yep.
Like, you could see the dude every day doing something on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram.
And it's not like it's even intentional. It's getting pictures with fans that he didn't know were going to happen. Like, I mean, you literally, if you're a celebrity now, you're being recorded at almost all times, and it's not fucking paparazzi. It's people an inch away from you.
Yeah.
You know,
it's cell phones.
You can't hide from that.
Yeah.
It's not watching for some dude in a, you know, fucking Escalade with the window rolled down a little bit.
Right.
Like, it's everybody.
Yeah. And there's no major event that goes by that somebody doesn't have a cell phone out, you know? Yeah,
it's
in
different.
Today's world, it's completely different.
The coverage of your, like Josh's career, it's just so huge.
Yep.
Because it's everywhere and everything.
Now, that's a great question, though, man.
Yeah. Now, I mean, like Jim Kelly, like again, was when we got him, it was freaking huge.
Now, are you asking of how they impacted the city?
Impacted the team, the city,
sports,
the fan base, of the sports of Buffalo, just all of that in together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good question, fellas. You like that one?
Yeah, it is. And
I like
one
it.
Last
it's
thing
a fun
I
question.
Just want to point out is the cool part about it is everybody knows Jim Kelly didn't want to come here.
Yes.
Everybody also
take
knows.
That into consideration, though.
Well, no. I'm just saying, in a weird sort of way, most of the Buffalo fans, when Josh Allen was drafted, didn't want him to come here. It was like,
dude, that's a great correlation.
And isn't that weird? It's like
really
two
funny.
Different sides of a coin.
That's
like,
super funny. That's really good, dude. That's awesome because you're right. Like Jim Kelly, the fans wanted him to come so bad,
right?
And he was like, no,
you know who the fans really, really wanted? Sammy Watkins.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right. Bills Mafia, the next time the draft comes around, don't fucking think about it. Like what you want sucks.
Yeah. It's dude, that's really funny. I was like when we drafted Sammy, we're up slapping five, just yelling.
Oh, hell
dude.
Yeah.
We heard it in the car. I don't know where we were going, but we were listening to the radio and I'm riding along. It was like morning. I wasn't even awake yet, and he's like, yeah, like he just like scared the shit out of me. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that was a huge pick at the time. I mean, I was pretty elated that we drafted a guy like that. I mean, I watched him in college. You guys know how big of a college football fan I am, and I watched him just tearing up the ACC. And I'm like, yo, this dude comes to Buffalo. I didn't think we would move up to get him. You know,
who knew?
And then he had 1 year with Tyrod where he had like 1,100 yards receiving or whatever it was.
Yeah, then it started the foot injury stuff.
And then it was
whatever,
just like,
right?
Yeah. And just went down. So.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good question. That was a good point.
Yep.
And we want you guys to give us your opinion, which, you know, it's not going to influence our decision, but we want to know what you have to say. So you'll find that question on Facebook at ETD Buffalo. You can also find us on Twitter. And feel free to check out anchor.fm. That's where we host our podcast, or pretty much anywhere you get your podcast.
Yep. Well said, Jay. Anything else, Jeff? You got anything?
I'm good, man.
You're good?
I'm very comfortable with this whole thing.
All right, man. We're trekking upwards, like you said. We're on that roller coaster. Oh, yeah. We're climbing the hill, man. We're getting Saturdays. They're going to start hitting with pads on, and things are going to start getting real, man. So if you're not excited yet, damn, going to be quick. So.
Yes. Get ready.
All right, guys. Just want to end it like we always do with where else would you rather be than right here, right now. Go Bills.
Go Bills.